morning. God's blessings to you today. Are you doing okay? How's everybody? Did the spring forward get you today? God's blessings to you as we gather. Our rhythm of worship is one that is meant to be for our hearts, for our soul as we journey through this life. There's so much. And to have this rhythm, this time to come and sit in this beautiful space, to be surrounded by God's love and God's message and word and song, and the sacraments. Today as we gather, we'll celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as you come forward, know that you are loved by God, that there is nothing that can separate you from that love. And I know, because we're human beings and we live this life, and you might wonder, really though, if you knew me, you'd think otherwise. No, I may not know everything, but our God does. And that is the powerful declaration in Christ that no, actually, there is nothing that can separate you from that love. So when you come forward for that Holy Communion, if there is something you'd name in your heart, go ahead and name it. And just know that it's gone. It's on the cross. And you receive the body and blood and go forward joyfully, knowing that you are God's beloved. We celebrate Holy Communion here in Christ Chapel. Today we'll celebrate it by intinction, which means you'll come forward, you'll receive the bread, and then when you have that, you'll dip it in the chalice and receive the blood of Christ. We have gluten-free and alcohol-free options. If you'd like that, just come forward, indicate that to your server. This is a campus where everything is about learning. Everything is about developing leadership skills, and that includes how we worship together. And so in our worship this morning, we are so fortunate to have some wonderful Gustavus students who are getting the opportunity to lead worship. Lucio is our assisting minister, and he will lead the liturgy. Rose and Meg are our acolytes and our assisting ministers as well, helping us with this wonderful worship time. And of course, our Dr. Chad Winterfeld is our cantor and helps us to dig deeper into our hearts, into our lives of faith. So thank you. I want to make an announcement. Tonight at 7:30, Dr. Winterfeld will have an organ recital in this space in Christ Chapel. It'll feature organ music by female composers and will be wonderful, I know. We continue to journey through our Lenten worship, our Lenten season. And as a part of that, here at Gustavus on Wednesday nights, we do the Holden Evening Prayer. At 9 p.m., we'll gather for the Holden Evening Prayer. Well, those are the announcements. God's blessings again and welcome. I invite you to please stand and face the back near the baptismal font as we begin our service.
During the season of Lent, we are called to return to God with all of our heart. Let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and neighbor. God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin. Embrace your forgiveness and seek the way you set before us in Jesus Christ. Amen. With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we know we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. People of God, look to Jesus, who heals and sets us free, because God loved the world so much. Take hold of life, eternal life. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing We Are Called, which is found in the Cranberry Red Hymnal, number 720. That's the Cranberry Hymnal, number 720. The grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and... Please be seated. One God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Now it is time for a reading from Ephesians 2:10. You were dead through the trespass and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in made us alive the great love which he saved even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace which you had been saved, and raised us up with him and seated him with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able to welcome the gospel.
For this, the fourth Sunday in Lent comes from the Gospel of St. John. Hear the life-giving word of God. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the good news given for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. Let us take a moment and bow our heads, please. Gracious God, for your living word, we give thanks. For this word that we have in our holy scriptures, that like a true friend is always there. You've given it to us to be our companion, that we might feast on it and live. Thank you for the gift of your holy word, that through it we might see the gift of your only Son, that we might see him for all that you intend him to be for us, and that in seeing that, we might see ourselves for all you have intended us to be for ourselves and our world. Fill us with confidence. Give us the strength to see that clearly today, that we might claim it, and in this day and in this week, we might live boldly. For we are who you've made us to be, created in Christ to do your will, to be your light. So, gracious God, I pray that you'll let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I prayed about our Bible texts for today, there was a quote that kept coming to mind, and this quote is from a well-known Episcopal priest and author, some you may know, Barbara Brown Taylor. This is the quote. "For all the human handiwork it displays, the Bible remains a peculiar holy book. I cannot think of any other text that has such authority over me, interpreting me faster than I can interpret it. It speaks to me not with the stuffy voice of some mummified sage, but with the fresh, lively tones of someone who knows what happened to me just an hour ago. It is a living word. And I think this living word for us this morning in the Gospel of John, which I will focus on, I think it offers us a timely and relevant message for our living as followers of Jesus. For all the good that our digital lives give to us, all that we've received through this wireless, connective world in which we live, and there is good. Along with all the good comes, I will say, also more than a small amount of headache, and dare I even say, heartache. There's a word that has come into our lexicon, or a phrase to talk about this heartache. It's called cyber sickness. The form most commonly refers to, it comes in is the viewing of moving digital content that leaves one feeling like they are on a boat, seasick. Cyber sickness. There's another form of cyber sickness, one that I've personally felt and have noticed again and again, is that every article I might read online seems to be, if they allow a comment section, that comment section seems to be filled with a meanness that I know is there in life, but it sometimes and somehow always seems to surprise me and discourage me. I came this weekend from Alexandria, Minnesota. I'd been gathered with a group of about 200 high school students at our Southwest Minnesota gathering. It's like a little bit of summer camp in the middle of the winter. We got away together, and as a part of that, they do different activities, and in the night, they have, it's called nightlife, and there's all doing Gaga Ball. This place was really, they've got a henna room where they're doing henna tattoos. They've got a Gaga Ball area where they're doing Gaga Ball. This place was really cool, and they had a broom ball area, and they were playing broom ball, and they had all these different activities that are kind of mainly pump you up kind of crazy activities. There is also always an area that they call the Spirit Garage. And it's kind of an arts and crafty type place where people come together for prayer and to have not as crazy of a time, but a time to just relax and chill together. And I usually, as one of the adult leaders there, I say, you know, please don't put me into anything too crazy, but just send me anywhere and I'll help out with that. And they sent me to the Spirit Garage. Very appropriate. And sitting in there as we gathered, I don't know what it was. It was sort of a playful engagement with a really kind of big group. About 10 or so came in at all at once. Although they didn't know each other, they were just kind of careening around together. And they came in and I said, hey, sit down. Let's have a deep conversation. Let's share our hearts with one another. And again, I said it playfully, but I meant it. And one by one, we each put something in the middle. And there were a couple adult leaders there too. And we each put something real in the middle. And this wasn't a sob time together where we all sat there and cried. We lovingly put in the middle something that was true, that was weighing our hearts down. And as we walked away, we all just said, wow, that was like, that was really nice. I feel like a burden lifted off just in the sharing of that and in the community we had. And we spent a good amount of time praying together before we left. It was incredible. Our digital comment section has existed for years. But I think the very existence of this and exposure to it, this steady stream of negative or snarky comments, I think it's impacting us in a cumulative way more than we might care to admit. John 3:16 might be the most well-known passage of Scripture. Maybe you even know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So well known, but don't ever overlook that expansive and lavishness of this text, of this promise. Of that unconditional love. So loved. That word loved there is that agape love, that unconditional love, the way in which God loves us. God so loved the world. Not just Minnesota, not just America, but the world. And not just the people, but the creepy crawly in the growing, the life that is our world. So that all who believe in him, all, not just those that have the same ideas as me or the same ideas as you that might line up in this so that they may not be thinking, but all, so that they may not perish but have eternal life. God comes into what is temporary to make it eternal. That is the very drawing in of humanity into God's self through Christ. That we are fragile. We do break down. We will taste death in this life. But God has already broken into your life now to draw you into something bigger. Something bigger than you. So that you may, in this our living years, see more clearly the gift of this life that has been given to you, that you may live. We are told very plainly in Scripture what God's end game is. It is life, it is love for all. And that includes you and forever. As I mentioned in my welcome, our sacraments bear witness to this. In holy baptism, you have been claimed by God. God's got a hold of you, not letting go, not in a prison type way, but in a loving kind of way that your hand is held. You're not living in a bubble, but you are held and loved. You've been adopted. Our sacrament of Holy Communion is that reminder for us, that regular feasting that we have as we truly try to step out into this world and try to do our things. We know quickly as we look in the mirror, we fall short. And as we look into our hearts, we know that we fall very short. And it bothers us. It bothers me. The ways in which I feel very hypocritical. The ways in which I see, Grady, you need to grow up. But then I'm reminded again that, yeah, I do. And I am growing. And what I need and what God gives me is he lifts me up from those moments. And I hope that that's how you experience communion as well. In the context of our passage, which is good to keep in mind because I think the context is important. Do you recall who it is that Jesus is speaking this famous passage to? We sometimes forget. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, that well-respected Pharisee who had come to visit Jesus under the cover of darkness as to not be seen. Though Nicodemus was strangely drawn to Jesus' teaching, for some reason, he was timid, even afraid to be associated with Jesus. I imagine that Nicodemus must have startled himself when he found himself quietly snickering, laughing inside to the biting words that Jesus was saying, to the truth he was speaking. Yet something inside Nicodemus caused him to be cautious about a public connection to Jesus. So it was under the safety and protection of darkness, like a stealth airplane, Nicodemus made his way to Jesus. Have you ever had an aha moment? You know, that moment where there is sudden clarity about something that up until that point had been confusing or hard to figure out. I love aha moments. Some of my greatest Gustavus students experiences were those times when I learned something bigger than simply the class lesson, but through the lesson and conversation with others gained an important clarity about life, a sort of wisdom, if you will. Now, the aha moment and the teachable moment are not the same thing. Teachable moments do not always feel so awesome. Teachable moments usually come on the heels of a screw-up of some sort. Something bad has happened, and as the situation is addressed, the error is exposed and confronted, and a larger lesson is learned. Some of my most humbling and frustrating moments as a Gustavus student had been through some of those teachable moments. And I don't know anybody that would say that they love that teachable moment, but I can tell you, I am always grateful for them. If John 3:16 is the most well-known passage of Scripture, the two verses that immediately precede that famous verse may be the least known, or at least certainly the most bizarre. It says this: "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in my name may have eternal life." Here again, he's speaking to Nicodemus. Jesus is referring to that time following the Exodus from Egypt where the Hebrews were wandering in the wilderness. And it was not a glorious journey, but a time of bitter complaint and discontent. Even as they had been continually provided for in their journey, they were complaining and they were groaning every step of the way. The people had lost sight of the original vision for their freedom, their identity. They wanted the freedom, but were not prepared for the responsibility that the freedom entailed. Instead, they felt betrayed. They flat out accused Moses of leading them out into the desert to die. And adding to the agony of the Exodus journey were the poisonous snakes that were biting them. I don't know about you, but I do not like snakes. It's just not my thing. I don't know if it is anybody's thing. Maybe it might be some people's thing. I read last week about in southern Florida, a Burmese python had eaten a white-tailed deer. And the picture of this bloated, huge snake as it was digesting the deer, I thought, I like southern Florida, especially in the winter, but I'm not so sure. Snakes scare me. So if the Exodus was not hard enough, now they were faced with poisonous snakes that were biting. And the death from the snake bite was a slow and painful death. While the poison moved through their veins, those who had been bitten became more and more sluggish and took on a comatose shuffle as they walked along waiting to die. God answered the prayer on a pole, him to replicate a bronze serpent and set upon it on a pole so that all who had bitten may look on it and live. And the amazing thing is, as it was lifted before their face, and as they looked on it, they lived. Could it be that God helps us deal with our most difficult issues, or most life-threatening things that cause us to be sluggish and moving along, that God lifts them up before our eyes, that we may see them. In the exchange with Nicodemus, Jesus was making it clear to Nicodemus that slither around about snakes that slither around the feet, but rather those that slither around our hearts and our minds. Nicodemus may have secretly delighted in Jesus, but he did not understand him adequately. And I have to imagine that this exchange was more of a teachable moment than an aha moment. And it is worth noting that even as the teaching of Jesus began to sink into his mind, Nicodemus remained on the sidelines and did not dare to publicly confess Jesus as the Christ. Still, in Nicodemus's defense, he is an interesting fellow. At least John thought so. In the Gospel of John, Nicodemus appears 3 times, and in each time he appears, he takes a tiny step closer to Jesus. With each of his acts, he's just a bit bolder. This is good news for us. This is good news for me. It's good news for you. It doesn't have to all happen overnight. But as we come close to Jesus, as we draw near, he draws near to us. And we are changed. God's love to us in Jesus is a lavish and gracious love. Jesus comes to lift us up and to set us free from the systems that oppress us, that hold us, that hold us back. When I think of bold actions, I cannot help but be reminded of an old story, and I'll conclude by sharing it with you. It's of an adventurer who had strung a line across Niagara Falls. And many an adventurer had come with their balancing rod to walk across that tightrope, that danger before them. And this adventurer came along claiming that he could cross the rope, but he said, without the aid of a balancing rod. He said, in fact, not only will I cross this rope without the aid of a balancing rod, but I will do so while pushing a wheelbarrow. Fantastic, the crowd yelled. And holding their breath, they watched with amazement. Literally, this was reality entertainment at its best. Between the gasps and the awes, the crowd watched the young man manage to cross safely from one side to the next and then back again. Unbelievable. The people were astonished. Upon returning, the young man asked the great crowd of onlookers, "Do you believe that I can do it again?" To which a loud cheer erupted. "Yes." Then making eye contact with one in the and without hesitation, the man said, "Sir, do you believe I can do it?" And without hesitation, the young man said, "Yes, I do believe." To which the adventurer said, "Fantastic. Will you please take a seat in my wheelbarrow?" It is one thing to say we believe, it is quite another thing to stake our lives on it. And that is the very thing we are called to do. To step out of the shadow, to step into the light. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ for good works. Not for our own sake to put stars on our banner, but so that we might have that works one another, our humanity strong, that opens one heart to the next, that shows one another our humanity as we gather in our circle of whatever our community might be. May we be, if anything, real. May we be honest. And may we be together in Christ. May we walk boldly in Christ, serving diligently, loving, and living with kindness, living in the light of this love that has lifted us. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our pulpit hymn, hymn number 815, 815.
After each prayer, we will hear God of Love, and please respond by saying, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of learning that happens every day on this campus. May you bless the mentors, leaders, and professors as they guide their students through each and every day. And may we rejoice in the students living out their vocation here and everywhere. Comfort those who are struggling in this new semester and strengthen them to follow their calling and persevere through their difficult times, knowing that you are here with them in this journey. God of love, hear our prayer. God, we thank you for the increasing empowerment of women, particularly after last week's International Women's Day celebration. We are thankful for the strides that have been made and for the strong female trailblazers stepping up today and every day. We pray for those women who still live under oppression and abuse and for those who continue to fight for their voice. God of love, hear our prayer. God, in the wake of violence, we thank you for the courage of young people across the country speaking up for a brighter and more peaceful future. May you guide our political leaders as they debate new legislation and help them to make decisions with the best interests of the whole country in mind. Support those still grieving in the aftermath of gun violence and be ever present in their lives through this difficult time. God of love, hear our prayers. God, we pray for those suffering from illness. May you bless them with speedy recovery and comfort in your grace. May you keep watch over those who we name now in the silence of our hearts. God of love, hear our prayer. The peace of God is with you all. Please greet those around you with a sign of peace.
I invite you to please stand. Life-giving God, may you bless our gifts and let them go forth from us to the benefit of all your children with wisdom, compassion, and imagination. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times. Its meal was shared and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power hungry, the fragile, lonely, lost. The first time the meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time. And that whenever the bread was broken and the wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today, we remember the story as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine. We affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. When Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Father in heaven, thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and you are the people of God. All are welcome. You may be seated. Please stand. Gracious God, generous mother of life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Amen. I forget what the number of the hymn is. Hymn number 721. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People of God, people of light, go in peace to love and serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.